from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Thursday and Wednesday. Wednesday it is. Happy Wednesday. Thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Let me just say this really quick. I'm done saying happy whatever day it is, because truth be told, all my days run together. Okay? I'm just not going to lie to y'all. All right? I don't do it perfect.
Do you want me to give you a little reminder right before the mic turns on?
Give me something. More, you know what? More coffee. I haven't drank a lot of coffee today.
No.
That was like scenarios, G. Happy Thursday. Oh! I mean Wednesday. Oh.
But the thing is, we love any day of the week, and it's going to be happy. So there you go.
Are you trying to say you actually love every day equally?
No,
We love all our kids the same.
I love my kids the same.
We love the days the same.
I do love Fridays the best, and I like Mondays the least.
I think the best day is Saturday. Saturday better than Friday.
I almost enjoy the getting ready to go on the trip as I do the trip. Because I have that to look forward to. So Friday's my getting ready and heading to the airport feeling. Saturday's my I'm on the trip.
But I don't like Friday. I don't like Friday night because your boy be sleep too early. So, you know what
Stay
I mean?
Stay up.
I can't. All right. Coming up at 11:30, Mickey Gomez is going to join the show. You know, our very own traffic reporter. And she's going to come in to talk about the new national catalytic converter bill. But right now, let's get to Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Guarding Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
You heard in Ursula's top stories this morning, we talked about this accused pit bull that attacked an 11-year-old girl in Auburn and was shot by police and later euthanized. And when we discussed this story, we talked about the inherent dangers of pit bulls in terms of their bite force, etc. But, gee, my question, is the dog breed relevant to the headline? Like, I'll just read you the King 5 one. Accused pit bull attacks 11-year-old girl. Is the dog breed relevant there?
Shoot. Why do I feel like I'm going to get in trouble by this? Because I am.
There's no winning.
There's no win in this topic.
So, but we're not about winning.
We're about the truth.
Yes. So do you want me to answer first?
No, I'll answer. Yes, it's relevant. Should it be? No, but it is. I want to know the type of dog that it was in the story. So me as the reader, I want to know the type of dog that did this. So then I can have more of a visual into the story.
Now, hold on. Yeah. And okay, wait. It was the headline, and I don't like criticizing other media organizations.
I'm not criticizing.
No. So, but I will say, is the actual headline accused pit bull?
Yes.
The pit bull is accused.
Yeah.
But I just think that headline.
At least one iteration of it. I don't know if it's been changed.
Okay. I just think that headline. If I were the coach of the person or the mentor, I would say, let's work on that headline and change it up a little bit.
But the story.
That said, pit bull, should it be in the headline? Well, is it a fact?
Yes.
Is it relevant to the story? I would say that obviously it evokes a certain emotion about pit bulls, and there are pit bull lovers, and I'm trying to answer all of you, and I understand it's still mostly the owner, but there are breeds of dogs that are more powerful or that have certain things inherent in their makeup, like the jaws of a pit bull, that if they are mistreated or they're mishandled or they're scared or they're, you know, whatever it is, they can do more damage than, let's say, my dog Scooter, do damage. So the question is, should it be in I don't see there's any problem with having it in the – I would just rewrite the headline. I don't think there's an issue with having it in there because it is true. And the other thing that is true is that this is the second pit bull or pit bull mix attack in just the last week in this region.
Ursula.
Yes.
Why did it take you so long to answer that?
Because I'm giving you all the reasons, because I don't want to just say yes or no and not give the reason behind it.
Okay,
right?
Well,
you have to justify it.
Maybe I can explain that. Because we all know in the media that when you put out a headline like that, you put a picture in someone's head. And the picture that you put out is that Pit bulls are an inherently dangerous animal. We see that this pit bull attack happened in Eastlake last week. Then there's this pit bull attack here in Auburn this week. And I bring it up because I understand dogs are not people. They're it's a totally different thing, right? When you stereotype someone with media reports.
Yes.
But I wonder slightly if the first thing it does is it reinforces fear among people of pit bulls, right? So the next time I see a pit bull, what's going to pop to my head? That dog that attacked an 11-year-old girl and savaged this woman's leg on Eastlake, right? It perpetuates fear. And then I think also it can potentially drive people towards buying these dogs. I think there's somewhat of a confirmation bias in this with the large animals, right? If I want an aggressive dog, if I want a dog to guard my junkyard, or if I'm just the type of person who wants an angry dog around my place, what am I going to get? I don't know, the same reason that shooters all get the AR-15s, because they know, as it's been popularized, this is the kind of dog you get if you want an aggressive one.
Well,
okay, but wouldn't you be able to find that information even if it's not in the headline? And I also want to point out that, as I mentioned in our first segment, sorry, Chef, I'm trying to look for it.
I know, you're bringing receipts, the CDC receipts.
Yes!
No.
So there are certain facts about...
I will say there's a problem. You and I, we've discussed this story. We discussed what happened with Eastlake. We discussed what happened in Auburn. You know what really bothers me right now?
What's that?
I don't even know the name of the owner in both situations. The reason this happened is because of careless dog owners.
That's true.
And you and I both don't know their names.
That is a good point. That is a good point. But again, I will point out that the CDC, before anyone starts hitting me with, don't be mean to pit bulls. And again, I have seen, and my son has cared for a pit bull that he loves and thinks is the sweetest dog ever. But while pit bulls make up only 6% of the population of dogs in the U.S., they are responsible for a majority of the dog attacks since 1982. And the most fatal... dog bites or the dog bite fatalities, they're responsible for more deaths than any other breed. And again, you can look at it. Is it the dog's fault or is it the owner's fault? And I would side with the owners, but you have to just know what type of dog you have.
Okay. So, Ursula, you asked me to look up earlier penalties, so I had to dig through some legalese.
Okay.
Basically, the deal is if a dog bite causes some damage to someone, the owner is liable for that monetary damage. If it is a severe injury or death, the owner can be convicted of a Class C felony. The owner is not guilty of a felony or for the monetary damages. They can prove that the person was either trespassing or provoking their dog. So those are the circumstances. But this is actually kind of a red herring because I wanted to ask you a separate question on this. How come we never hear about the good stories about pit bulls?
That's true.
Isn't it the responsibility of the media to report the good stories, too?
I mean, come on now, Chef. We don't hear about good stories with humans, hardly.
I'm glad you said it was a red herring, but yes.
I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
The reason I bring that up is because I think to demand media coverage in a certain direction because it has been skewed in one way by actual events, it is ludicrous to think that we should start reporting on good pit bull stories to balance our coverage of two horrific incidents. Just want to point that and move on.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Ursula, you will be happy to learn this. We are number two right here in Seattle among the entire nation. We are the number two top destination for Memorial Day travel. This is according to AAA, rather reliable source.
Yes.
Are you buying this?
Have you seen
the Fox News coverage of Seattle?
I've seen a lot of coverage, and Seattle has its problems. Our own show has documented many of the problems that exist in Seattle. That all said, we have said it over and over and over again. I would still choose this city and this region over so many others. And I was reminded about that again with my last trip. Every time I go on a trip, I think, man, I take a lot of things for granted, including when I, complain and complain about the rain. But then I love the fact that we have so much green in this state. And that we have mountains close by, and that we have lakes and rivers and, Puget Sound. And you forget what we have and you only focus, which is our nature, to focus on the negative. But of course, most of the country, if they don't believe that we're, in flames or completely out of control, would recognize that this is a beautiful area to visit.
Hmm. It's almost like some people use it as talking points, as if Seattle's dying all of a sudden. Weird. Odd that it's number two in the United States of travel destinations by AAA. Weird that I keep seeing all these cranes in the air. Weird how everybody's overpaying for homes. Rent prices are through the roof. Then why are people staying here in Seattle then? Because according to what some say you got to watch your back in Seattle. It's really dangerous. Shout out Laurelhurst. It gets dangerous over there, Laurelhurst area, boy. I tell you what.
You're picking on a neighborhood that doesn't see a whole lot of issues.
How about Magnolia? I can run through a list of neighborhoods in Seattle that don't see any issues.
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to try to pretend that there are no problems. Every time I drive around I-5, and this is not just Seattle, this is everywhere all along Western Washington, the amount of graffiti is just astounding, and I don't see that in other states. So we have allowed certain things to happen, and we've allowed them to go way too far. I'm not taking that away.
So other things you don't see in other states either.
That's true, too. But just coming back I completely believe it, and especially in the spring and summer. Hard to beat.
Can I admit something?
Yes.
So I went down to downtown Seattle with my wife, Gabby, for her birthday. We rented a hotel room. And I have to admit, looking at the hotels, because we're booking through credit card points, and I'm just looking at the map of hotels. I'm like, First Avenue? Nah. Second? Third? Pioneer Square? No, I can't stay there. That's really dangerous. And last summer, when my wife took our daughter, our infant daughter, to downtown Seattle in Westlake Park, in my mind, I was thinking, you can't go down there because it's going to be too dangerous for you to do that. You know what? Downtown Seattle was really, really nice.
That's what you said.
Really, really nice. It was amazing. Awesome. I did not see a tent on First, Second, or Third. I saw bars packed full of people having a great time. The weather was beautiful. There were tourists all around the market, people holding hands, having fun. Yes, do you see some people experiencing mental illness and homelessness? Absolutely. But I just have to admit that I have been influenced by our own coverage of downtown Seattle. So now I'm being a giant hypocrite, and I'm balancing out the bad stories with a good story of my own.
There you go. And here's another good story. Mm. You know the day of service is coming up this Saturday, and I just want to remind
Saturday.
Everybody.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm wearing.
Why do you care? We are cleaning. We're cleaning up graffiti.
If you think that I'm coming down there so people could take pictures. Ooh, look at G. Look at what he's wearing right there. Bing, bing. I'm not coming down with no holy gray sweatpants or anything like that.
I'm not dressing up, so I'll be the one that's not dressed up. But just to remind everybody, that our particular event is from 9 to noon. But Chef, you were working with the mayor's office.
Correct.
And I was trying to get people to sign up on our Facebook page. Every event kept filling up. Everyone who thinks that people are giving up on Seattle, I couldn't find enough spots for our crew to have a big, big group. I mean, we have 30 spots at Westlake. Right. And so it filled just like that with our listeners. But I was impressed. It's like everyone wants to see the city succeed. Thousands and thousands of people signed up for this thing.
When I talked to the mayor's office, they were absolutely flabbergasted. Thousands of people signed up within the first couple of days. Thousands of more have signed up since. They have hundreds of neighborhood cleanup events happening this weekend on Saturday. The amount of community outpouring and saying, hey, you know what? I have some agency in this. I can actually do something to better my city. It's incredible. So we can't wait to meet a lot of you on Saturday.
I want to mention that across it. Yes, exactly. And thanks for all your work.
Where do I need to come?
Yeah. So 9 a.m. at Westlake. Uh-huh. So we're going to be there. And then after our 3 hours of work, we're going to go across the street. And we're going to go to Euro's place, remember? And if anyone wants, and I am springing for 20 people to have Layla's fries.
Excuse me.
20, please.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Back up.
Yes?
How many hours?
3.
I'm about to be working for 3 hours?
That's nothing for you. Yes, we're going to be cleaning graffiti. But things are going all over the city. I just want to say thank you to everyone who jumped in immediately to do that. And I hope we have more of those opportunities.
Yeah.
And what a great thing to do.
I just can't wait to meet some of y'all. I ain't gonna lie. And by the way, I just want to let you guys know, if for some reason you're there and you walk and you go away saying, you know, G was doing a lot of talking and walking around, I didn't see much of what he was doing. Now you'll see what Chef and Ursula deal with on a daily basis. So don't go back telling nobody said G was doing a lot of walking and talking. That's what I do. So I'm going to be the
You're the happy ambassador.
I'm going to make sure everybody's having a good time. Hey, are you okay? Need anything? Need some water? Need anything? Cool. And I'm going to go to the next person and do that the entire 3 hours.
I love it. But again, for all of you who signed up, thank you.
Yes. Mickey Gomez is coming in. She usually is talking traffic from about 3 to 7, but she's coming in to talk about a new national catalytic converter bill. It's Gene Ursula.
Music. We're going to have our Mickey Gomez join us in a second, and she's going to be talking about catalytic converter theft, which is still a huge thing. As you know, it can be a lucrative business for the thieves and a big fat pain in the neck and hole in the wallet for victims. And Mickey looked into a plan to address this issue on the national level.
Catalytic converter theft remains steady in Washington and across the nation. It's because of the precious metals, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, that makes it a hot item. Rhodium's market value is around $16,000 an ounce. And although Washington already has a new law to stamp out catalytic converter theft, some lawmakers believe that it's not going to do enough. Indiana Congressman Jim Baird says that cat converter theft in his state is on the rise, and it's time to get tough. So he introduced the PART Act, which stands for Preventing Auto Recycling Thefts, back in January. Baird says law enforcement input was an important piece to the PART Act.
And we had some of our law enforcement officers share their concerns about these catalytic converter thefts that was on a major increase because of the metals. You know, there's precious metals in those.
I asked him why it's been so hard to prosecute catalytic converter theft, and he says,
even if they followed a pickup load of catalytic converters to a scrapyard or to some intermediary, there wasn't anything they could do.
Which is why the PART Act is different than other laws. Baird explains.
And the idea is simply to try to be able to tie those catalytic converters through some kind of identification number, whether it's the VIN number or whatever, and stamp that right on the catalytic converter and make sure that the law enforcement then has an opportunity or can take corrective action.
But does the PART Act have support from the auto industry?
We've been endorsed by the Major Cities Chiefs Association, the National Independent Automobile Dealers Association, the Institute for Scrap Metal Recycling Industries, the National Insurance Crime Bureau, the American Car Rental Association, the National Automatic Merchandising Association, and NAFA, the Fleet Management Association.
And what about bipartisan support?
Absolutely. I think that's where this works better. And we currently have 11 bipartisan co-sponsors.
I asked Congressman Baird if he's confident the bill will pass.
I am very optimistic at this point that we will have, because this bill doesn't have any real consequences other than just trying to help law enforcement as well as help automobile owners, or not just automobiles, but vehicle owners. And so I'm very optimistic about where this will go.
He tells us the PART Act is in a holding pattern as he and his supporters wait on committees to take up the bill or help get it to the floor for a vote. Mickey Gomez, Cairo News Radio.
And Mickey joins us right now.
I do. Hello.
Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
I love this. And I want to just say kudos, because I know that this is one of the top trending stories on MyNorthwest.com. So first of all, let's talk about what is happening in our state, because this has been such a huge thing. And there was this push in Olympia to try to do something. And what effect is that having, if anything?
So back at the end of March, a bill went into effect. And some think, and I can't say who, I did a lot of interviews off the record
Okay.
Which was really frustrating. But it was more our bill, HB 1815, I believe, is the number that is an actual law now. It just really touches the surface. Maybe it's a slap on the hand. But when someone steals a catalytic converter, you still can't identify where it came from. And that's the real issue. That's why it's so hard to prosecute. I mean, you can get someone coming in and going to a chop shop and try to sell it. And you know, these chop shop owners or these parts stores aren't really supposed to be buying them without any kind of identification paperwork to go with it. But, you know, they're doing deals under the table and these parts are still being sold. If you were to have a VIN number or some kind of identification number on the catalytic converter, then you can say, OK, I need you to prove real ownership of this catalytic converter. Where did it come from? And then, you know, quite possibly, if they're caught with the parts, they can be arrested and they can be convicted.
So we know that the thieves are bad, but I want to talk about those that are buying it, making mm-hmm. the side deals. Why can't they prosecute them to the fullest? And in that way, they will make sure that it's identification for these catalytic converters.
Well, because you can't tie that catalytic converter back to a particular vehicle. Did it come from you can find out, well, oh, okay, this came from, let's say, a Hyundai, mm-hmm. or this came from a Charger, but you don't know whose. You don't know whose vehicle it came from. And well, I did try and discuss this with some, you know, with parts owners or, you know, chop shop owners. I don't know if that's what you guys call them up here, but we call them, you know, chop shops, and where you go and you sell your parts. None of them would speak to me.
Oh, really?
Really. I called about 20 of them. None of them would speak to me.
Well, because it's probably lucrative for them, too.
Well, it is, but we can't say, or I can't say, whether or not they're buying hot parts.
Right. Well, I think it's kind of a no questions asked, no harm done kind mm-hmm. of thing. So I looked into House Bill 1815. Mm-hmm. So it basically establishes requirements for businesses that would accept these catalytic converters.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be one thing. And then gives money to local law enforcement agencies so they can do sting operations.
Right.
And then, I love this one, and it creates a task force.
You know how we are about task force.
To look at how the state can approach the problem in the future.
Well, let's look at that second part.
Yeah.
Okay. So if a police officer or a deputy or somebody pulls over a guy with a bunch of catalytic converters, it's going to be hard to prosecute that person who has all those cat converters, because who do they belong to? Where did he get them from?
Yeah.
You know, unless you can tie that back to somebody. Is this wrap it up?
Yeah. You've got time.
Okay. So what I want to tell people, so the real issue here is that some people have been asking me, how do I protect myself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Please make sure that you have insurance on your vehicle. I know a lot of people are cutting back on budgets right now, and it's really hard, you know, to maintain a family budget. And, you know, when you've got to decide, oh, do I do the lights or do I buy food? But please, if you have a nice car, or even if you have a car and you rely on that car for work, make sure that it's insured. Even if you've paid it off and the car company doesn't require you to have full coverage, do not take off comprehensive insurance. This is something that I found because older cars and people who've paid off their cars, they tend to lower their insurance.
Oh, true.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Comprehensive is what pays for your damaged parts.
Yeah.
Because when they go in and they saw off the catalytic converter, which, by the way, they can do it in 2 minutes, they're going to damage your car.
They do it so fast.
So that comprehensive pays for it.
I just wanted to tell you, Mickey Gomez, you're one of my favorite co-workers, and you've only been here a little bit. I love you.
I love you too.
Yeah.
We do love you.
I bat for the other team, but I tell you what.
How long have you been here now, and what are your impressions of moving here to this region?
I feel safe here. I feel safe in Washington. I really do, and I love being here. I moved here from Texas, and the laws there just weren't good for my kids, so we moved here to Seattle, and we're loving it. I started on my birthday, and so far everyone's been great. I love you guys. I listen to you guys.
Hey.
I think my honey's listening right now. Hi, honey.
Hi, Andrea, right?
Yes.
Hey, Andrea. We got to get you on the show one day.
Oh, yeah. She's fun. She'll tell you a lot of stories about me that aren't true.
Appreciate you, Mickey.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. You guys can hear Mickey Gomez giving that traffic report from 3 to 7 right here on Cairo Radio. It's now time for your text messages, your feedback, and then, you know, Ursula's words to live by. It's Gene Ursula. Gene Ursula Show, happy Wednesday. We would appreciate all of you guys hanging out with us today. Now it's time for the text messages. Ursula, what you got?
Okay, we're going to start with the story about the pit bulls that attacked an 11-year-old in Auburn.
Yep.
And Jared in Nebraska says, parents also need to teach and watch their kids when around dogs. True. Don't pet a dog unless you ask. Parents need to teach their kids as well to not pet other people's pets without asking.
425 says, I love dogs. After witnessing two terrifying pit bull attacks and working as an ER nurse for many years, I'm not a fan of so-called bully breeds. Bottom line, no one has ever gnawed to death by a dachshund, a shih tzu, or a labradoodle. Pit bull jaws are lethal weapons, and no amount of great pet parenting will change that.
253 says, I have the most loving pit bull on this planet, and he doesn't have a mean bone, or she doesn't have a mean bone in her body, and absolutely loves everybody and loves every dog and is absolutely a precious animal. It is most definitely the owner of a mean dog of any breed. Emphasize the word any that will determine the interaction that their dog exhibits with people and other dogs.
I just want to say that my best friend's a pit bull. BLM organization's financial mismanagement. 425 says Trump's kids stole from veterans. The judge made them take a class on how to not steal from charities.
425 says the Susan G. Komen Foundation got $195 million in donations in 2020, and they only devote 20% of their donations to researching breast cancer. The rest of their cash goes toward administrative costs and raising awareness, i.e. devoting money to advertising. Yes, the Susan G. Komen also has significant real estate assets. And then I'm just going to add this because it goes hand in hand. 253 says there's a reason why organizations like Charity Navigator exist. And I think before you give money, a substantial amount of money, you want to ask some questions about where that money is going to go. And you should demand accountability and transparency.
Are you going to give money to me getting married in June, Ursula?
I don't know if it's going to be money. I'm going to give a gift of some sort.
I'm going to set up a registry. It's going to be at Ferragamo, Louis Vuitton, Gucci. Buffalo Shooter, Tucker Carlson, and Great Replacement Theory. 206 says, as a native Alaskan, I hate hearing the term replacement theory. For some of us indigenous, we already have been replaced. It's not a theory.
And that never came up with our conversation, and that is truth. Tech Bro still dominating tech jobs in Seattle. Anonymous in Auburn says, I'm a tech recruiter for a major wireless company in the Seattle area. During the pandemic, we lost a lot of women in the workplace who voluntarily chose or who had to stay home to take care of their children. Not all of them returned to work afterward.
425 says, girl gamer here. You are correct. It's mostly guys playing video games. Even the female characters are mostly guys playing them.
Wow. 206 says, I guess I'm an exception, I guess. I'm a female and have played video games since they began. I'm 58 now, but I sure wish I could have had access to STEM classes when I was younger. I would have a different career now.
253 says, this 100% needs to start at home. I've been in tech for close to 20 years now, and it's getting better, but still pretty unbalanced. My daughter is about to start college next year for computer science. I've been in her ear for the last 10 years about how great it is. Laugh out loud.
We got tons and tons of text messages today on several topics, and just know we go through them. I've tried to respond to some. Congratulations to the dad who said his daughter graduated in the tech field, and then also want to respond to the person who said that maybe women just don't want to get into it. And I need to recognize that not all women and most women don't want to get into tech. And I said maybe it's just that they haven't had that opportunity, so, or maybe they've been brought up in a culture that says that over and over and they believe it. But
Ursula?
Yes.
Do you think I should leave this profession and go into tech?
No. I will clearly say tech is not for everybody, and I'm a woman. I wish I could get around. Into
Man, Ursula, my dreams are over.
You're like, what you doing on that computer over there?
Okay, on that note, why don't you give us words to live by, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And I know that we often talk about agreeing to disagree, and how do you do that? I hope that even though we agree to disagree, and this is to all of you who feel like maybe you strongly disagree with us on some of the things that we talked about today, I hope that anything that we send back is generally very respectful. And so this is about that. I don't know who this quote is from, but one of the truest signs of maturity is the ability to disagree with someone while still remaining respectful. We need to have those conversations.
I have no idea what direction the show is going. What if you came home? What would if you came home with a tattoo that said "Long Live Mark"?
Ursula, welcome home, sweetheart.
That really is a nice tattoo.
Every time I hear LLM, I think of like a boat.
Exciting.
Retirement is closer than you think, Long Live Mark. I want that boat.
Hold on, I got it. Got it. That's a good song right there. Yeah. Hey, it's been fun, Ursula. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Chef, good to have you back, man. Thank you for the good show. You cooked up something good. All right. Nick, what do you got, man?
Well, it's really hard to believe in this tech bro stereotype with the male dominance in the work field. Most of my math and science teachers were females growing up. My sister and I, we both enjoyed video games at a young age. You know what I think it is? They're enjoying jobs that might be a little more fun for them, like maybe playing sports, basketball, soccer, or even working in media with a nice group of people, like right here on this show. Guess they don't want people dropping in science on those tech boys over there at Google and Microsoft, maybe. Gotta tell you though, looks like a nice paycheck on the outside, but would you do anything for a big check? Like say, get bit by a dog or even stealing a catalytic converter? I don't know if I'd do that for a Klondike bar.
It's interesting to see where your mind goes, Nick.
I know, I love it. Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Dory Monson show's coming up next. Enjoy your Wednesday.
I appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.
Hope you had as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.